helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. Joe Biden recently stated that prohibiting the genital mutilation of children is immoral. Apparently, he's decided that he's the head of the morality police. I, however, refuse to take advice about morality from a man with a history of lying, plagiarism, inappropriate touching of women, sniffing the hair of little girls, claiming honors he has not received, promoting the killing of babies in the womb at the mother's whim, and now amputating healthy body parts of children because of some mental confusion. Isn't it about time the adults stand up and put a stop to this, these childish antics and this child abuse? Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me. You know, it's interesting. We talk about a person's liberty, but at what point do we have to protect the children, the minors, the people that we recognize are not ready to make such momentous decisions for their own lives? Because that's literally what's going on today. Yesterday I talked about the CDC trying to do medical experiments on your kids. Now we have Joe Biden promoting the genital mutilation of your kids. When are the adults going to wake up and do something? When are we going to stop listening to these lying, psychopathic, perverted idiots? I don't know. What I do know is way too many of us are voting for them to represent us. So when Joe Biden says, I don't think any state or anybody should have the right to do that as a moral question, as a legal question, I think it's just wrong. Now, what is that he's talking about? He's talking about states that have bills or passed laws that prohibit the genital mutilation, the quote-unquote sex change procedures on children. Apparently, Joe Biden and his ilk, they're not interested in saving children. They want them aborted when they're inconvenient, mutilated when they're confused, and generally wants to go around sniffing the little girl's hair because he enjoys it. Again, more of a reason why not to listen to this mentally disturbed man. See, he was asked, I believe at a press conference, if states should be allowed to ban gender-affirming healthcare. Well, let's stop with that for just a second. All right, it's not a question of states being allowed. See, medical care is not a power delegated to the United States. The United States has zero, read that again, zero legal authority to tell the states to do anything regarding healthcare. I know we've thrown that out the window and we pretend that it doesn't exist, but that is the law. Now, when he's referring to what they call gender-affirming care, which, by the way, is an oxymoron. It is literally care that denies a person's gender. It denies their sex. It pretends that just because, you know, if someone doesn't recognize reality, we usually give them mental treatment. Unless it's reality about sex, well, then we start chopping off body parts. So what we're talking about is a person who is confused. They are a boy, they think they're a girl. They're a girl, they think they're a boy. They're either and can't figure out what. And the answer is to permanently alter their bodies, ignore their gender, ignore the reality, and simply do this. And he's talking about not just surgeries, which are pretty bad, but puberty blockers, which again, have a permanent effect on the body. We don't know all the long-term effects of the body, but delaying puberty is going to have an impact on the body. But listen to Joe Biden's response. He goes, sometimes they try to block you from being able to access medicines. All right, well, stop for a second. This is not medicine. See, Merriam-Webster defines medicine as a substance or preparation used in treating disease. I'm sorry, being a boy or a girl is not a disease. Being confused about whether you're a boy or a girl is maybe a mental disease, but you don't provide that type of care for that. When they talk about something that affects the well-being, well, okay. What is the well-being of a person, especially when all the studies show, at least all the studies I'm aware of, that most of these transgender feelings are temporary. They are dealt with in adolescence. It's you're trying to deal with the confusion in your body, all the hormones. When I used to teach high school Sunday school, I used to tell all my students, you're all hooked on drugs. They're called hormones, and they're driving you crazy. And I understand that. But we don't take someone that thinks that wants a healthy body part amputated and amputate it unless it involves sex, which kind of shows that we have become a truly perverted nation in many ways. You think about and again, I'm not saying everybody in this nation, but look at what this nation is putting up with. This perversion of, hey, if it involves sex, do whatever you want. Ignore reality. Ignore the facts around you. We'll just make it up as you go along. Now, going back to Biden's quote, he says, being able to access certain medicine, which this is not medicine, being able to access certain procedures. Mr. Biden, there are literally hundreds of procedures that a child is not allowed access to without consent of the parent. A child can't simply go in and say, I want an appendectomy today. Not only do they need the parent's permission, generally, they need a surgeon to say, yeah, you have a bad appendix. It needs to be removed. They don't generally cut out perfectly healthy appendices. But they want to cut off perfectly healthy body parts. I truly do not understand the level of twisted perversion that must reside in the human heart to not only allow this for adults. It's one thing for an adult to do it, but to let children make such life-altering decisions for what is effectively cosmetic surgery. Yes, I said it. It is cosmetic surgery. Would you let a child, without the parents' permission in many cases, show up and get a facelift or a tummy tuck or breast implants? No. But you want to cut off those breasts? No problem. Go for it. This is the craziness that, which is why we need to stop listening to these moral midgets when it comes to setting policy. That also means that, ladies and gentlemen, we have to stop hiring these moral midgets to represent us. Because if this is a representation of the will of the states, because remember, the president isn't elected by the people, he's elected by the states, then a majority of our states are full of, I don't know, what do you call it? I've used the word, I mean, they're immoral. They're not simply amoral, they are immoral. It's not that they don't have morals. Their morals are truly perverted. Is that what you think? Is that what America has come to? Think of your state and local legislature. Look at the laws. Is that a representation of your understanding and that of your neighbors? If it's not, why do you keep hiring these crooks? Because look at what it's doing to America's youth. Komodo Health Inc. did a 5-year study. They tracked data from 2017 to 2021, I should say. And they were looking specifically at children who identified as transgender. And what they've noticed is that the increase has been so dramatic, so rapid. It cannot be organic. It cannot be natural. For example, in 2017, there were roughly 15,000 diagnoses of gender dysphoria. In 2018, it was up to 18,000. In 2019, it was up to 21,000. In 2020, it was up to 24,000, which you see is a fairly linear progression, right? About 3,000 additional new diagnoses a year. Until 2021, when it almost doubled from 24,847 in 2020 to 42,167 in 2021. Lord knows what it's going to be in 2022. Now, how is this happening? I have a simple theory, one that I believe is substantiated by the data and is not only mine, but agreed to by others. The answer is simple. See, our quote-unquote leaders, Everyone from politicians to teachers, they're brainwashing our children. They're telling them, you know, if you feel a little uncomfortable, if you feel a little out of sorts, well, then you must be transgender and you need to come out and we just need to start chopping body parts off. Think about that for a second. I mean, first of all, the study is showing the impression that children not only are impressionable, but that they are exceedingly susceptible to peer pressure. Just think of yourself when you were a teenager. It's one of their defining characteristics is their submission to peer pressure. I remember reading a study where they took they'd take like a dozen teenagers and they'd put them in the room and they'd ask them questions and they would give them multiple choice answers and they were told to raise their hand when the correct answer was given. And what they found is something very interesting, because what they didn't tell you is 11 of those 12 students were actually not part of the test. They were part of the test. They were not who were being tested. They were only testing one person in that room. So in other words, 11 of the 12 students were told to raise their hand for the incorrect answer. And you know what they found? Something like 80, 90% of the time, the student being observed, in other words, the one that wasn't in on it, would go along with the crowd. Once the others raised their hands, they would join in. Male, female, didn't matter. They're susceptible to this. So now we have teachers and administrators and librarians and all of these people telling them, hey, you feel a little different? Well, go ahead and let's start chopping off body parts. Now, listen, we've always had these types of things, right? Everything, you know, from Frank Sinatra and the Beatles to, you know, playing different games or using different products. There's always been this pressure. But this is the first time the adults have been recommending mutilation as a response to some stupid peer pressure. And I would go farther to say they are literally grooming these children to be deviant. I don't mean deviant as in, well, they're just different. I mean to mutilate their bodies because of a possible, potential, temporary confusion that's not uncommon, especially during adolescence. I believe in many ways we can trace this back to early instances of political correctness, this infantilizing of the American people, of saying you don't have to deal with anything that you disagree with, that you know you're not going to be told you're wrong. Everybody wins. No more red pens because it makes people feel bad. Whatever you do, you know, affirm whatever people think, whatever people say. Now we're living with the consequences. Because now it's not a question of whether or not Johnny or Jane passes the test and graduates school. Now it's whether or not they can have children. Now it's whether or not they are permanently made infertile because of these treatments. Not just general mutilation, but the puberty blockers, which can have a long-term effect that is still being studied, but is believed to include possible fertility issues. What does that say about the American society? What does it say about the American people? Not only that we have people like this, we stand by and let it happen. See, I look at this and say, you know, hey, it's never going to happen to my daughter. Because we taught her the difference between truth and falsehood. But I wonder, what about others? What's happening in the school district down the road from me? What's happening? What's going to happen to friends and family members that have young children? Are they going to be brainwashed and have that hidden from the parents so that the parents aren't aware? And what responsibility as parents do we have to not simply sit back and wait for the information to come to us, but to step out and make sure our children are protected from these immoral acts? Trust me, you do not want to take morality advice from someone like a Joe Biden. You certainly don't want to take morality advice from a group of people that have themselves been brainwashed into believing there is no different, that the only difference between boys and girls is sociological and psychological. That is a psychological problem. And the very idea that the American people are afraid to say something says an awful lot about us. See, we claim to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. But as we're watching this land become less and less free, we are showing ourselves to be cowards because we won't stand up and do anything about it. Now, I want to take some time and talk about what we're finding out about the effects of this these treatments, what are laughably called gender-affirming, which I refer to as gender-ignoring care. But I got to take a break first. Before I do me a favor. I want you to take a look at Healthy Cell. So Healthy Cell is a leading innovator in supplements designed to work at the cellular level. Everything from boosting your immune system to helping you sleep better to helping you focus on your day. All of it's available in these wonderful, often pill-free supplements. Now, one I like and I use regularly is their Immune Super Boost. It helps keep my immune system healthy so I can ward off, well, all the diseases and germs that are out that are part of everyday life. Combining over a dozen immune supplements into a single travel-ready gel pack, Immune Super Boost is a great way to keep your immune system healthy. And as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order. Just go to HealthyCell.com, put whatever you want in your cart. When you check out, use the code OUTLOUD. They'll give you 25% off if it's your first order. So once again, go to HealthyCell.com, use the code OUTLOUD at checkout to get 25% off your very first order.
Do you know there's no other condition that I'm aware of where vitamins and supplements make such a big difference than COVID-19? We have an abundance of data that we need to be replete with a variety of micronutrients, and that includes vitamins, minerals, and other substances our bodies need. I rely on Healthy Cell Super Boost. That's Immune Super Boost. It's a gel pack that can be taken every day. I like to do it before I exercise and before I go out. It's a wonderful supplement. It gives me the immune super boost that I need. Go to HealthyCell.com, use the promotional code OUTLOUD, and get a discount on your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today we're asking the question, should Creepy Joe, the man best known for lying, plagiarizing, sniffing women's hair, and generally being creepy, be the head of our morality police? Should we listen to anything he has to say when it comes to morality, especially when it comes to genital mutilation? Now, of course, we're being told from everywhere that, well, no, this is gender-affirming care. It has wonderful outcomes. It's good for the children. Well, you know what I say? Trust, but verify. Now, according to some of the reports I'm seeing, many people in the transgender movement are using studies by a Dr. Jack Turbin as a leading, who is a leading proponent of this quote-unquote gender-affirming care, and they're using his studies, his reports, I should say, to justify it. Well, trust, but verify. Now, again, I'm not a medical doctor, but here's the interesting point. Another gentleman, Liar Sapir, he's a fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He looked at their at these studies, and the report he has, the report that Dr. Turbin puts out, shows 16 studies that he's using to promote this quote unquote gender affirming protocol. Now, several of these studies were short-term follow-ups, which means they have no information about the long-term effects of this sort of treatment. Now, two of the most frequently cited studies, according to this report, actually come from the Netherlands. They were developed using what's called the Dutch protocol. Now, the Dutch protocol and the American protocol differ greatly in that the Dutch protocol involves heavy screening of the candidates before they are treated, where the American protocol is, say, show up, you feel bad, and off come the genitals. In fact, in California, if a teenager shows up in California, if a child shows up in California, even if they're not a California resident and simply claims their parents are not affirming their care, California wants to take the child away from the parents. So much for any sort of screaming. But again, since the Dutch protocol uses this screening, there's an inherent bias towards better outcomes. They're not taking everybody. They're taking the people that are most likely to have a good outcome. For example, the Dutch team excluded all cases that would have cast any doubt on the safety or efficacy of puberty blockers. So it's not a valid medically or scientifically valid test. It's a biased test. It's designed to encourage you to go forward with this. Also, Dr. Turbin cites that, you know, the studies that are supposedly saying, oh, there's better mental outcomes, right? Mental health outcomes, except, well, these patients were also receiving psychiatric medications, counseling, and other support, other forms of treatment for their mental issues. So we don't know if it was that study doesn't know if it involved the genital mutilation or not, or the puberty blockers or not. And as of this recording, I know of no studies that have ever been able to replicate the Dutch studies, meaning we don't know if these studies are showing actual data or some other bias that's in the system. If you can't replicate it, it's not science, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, a UK team tried to duplicate the Dutch program, including eligibility requirements and treatment protocols. They even used the same groups of people, but they were unable to observe the same outcome. Meaning all this nonsense that these treatments are good for the student, they're good for the child, that they improve mental health, are claims pulled out of thin air. There's not valid science behind it. Dr. Turbin also likes to say, all experts agree with gender-affirming model. That's a bald-faced lie. First of all, he never defines expert. You know, I'm an expert, not in gender-affirming care, but I'm an expert. But health authorities in Sweden, Finland, and the United Kingdom have all unanimously concluded that systemic reviews of the evidence for puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones, that the risks and uncertainties outweigh any known benefits. Yet that doesn't stop Turbin being cited, including in articles by Wired magazine, claiming that, oh, gender-affirming hormones are a effective suicide prevention. Except that there is no data to support that at all. In fact, a film's been released by the Center for Bioethics and Culture, called The Detransition Diary, Saving Our Sisters. It features women who are quite upfront about the fact that these irreversible procedures, the damage they have done, that this movement is promoting, is pushing on especially our young girls. Not as much young boys, although they are as well, but this movie focuses on young girls. they focus on this idea of a social contagion, this idea that it keeps being promoted by social media. And again, since teenagers are very susceptible to peer pressure, if they see it a lot on social media, they begin to think it's normal, it's natural, it's true. These are young ladies and women now that will forever live with the consequences of these decisions. And very few people, are actually talking about this, although there are a few. In a recent article from the Daily Signal, Abel Garcia talked about his experience. He talked about feelings about not being masculine enough, and the way people treated him that found out about it, including his father, led him to think he was a woman and to start the transition process. He talks about getting breast implants and never being told by his doctors of the side effects, the numbness, the atrophying of body parts, the tremors in his body. And after a while, he figured out this is wrong. There's something wrong with this. What's interesting is when he wanted to detransition, when he wanted to go back to being a man, when he wanted to have the breast implants removed, he got pushback. The very people that were more than willing to put breast implants in seemed less willing to take them out. And he talks about the social detransitioning being much harder than the physical detransitioning. And it makes me wonder, why do we promote? And I found interesting in this. So you've got social media promoting it. You've got schools promoting it. You have doctors promoting it. You have insurance companies. His surgery was covered by insurance. Now, granted, he was an adult when he did this. And as I've said, once you're an adult, you can make decisions for yourself. And, you have to live with the consequences. But what if he wasn't an adult? See, this is happening not just to adults. These are happening to teenagers and preteens. And I have to wonder, who's worried about the child abuse going on here? If you had a parent that was performing unnecessary surgeries on their child, the child would be taken to protective services. It's a version of Munchausen by proxy. But, if it involves genitals, if it involves sexual parts, well then, let's go for it. Let's promote it. There's something morally wrong in America. There's something morally sick in American society today. And until people start standing up and saying, no, wait a second, show me the rest of the story. Don't just tell me that it's good for them. Prove it. You're talking about a lifelong change. Prove it. I mean, if you think about it, if you don't buy a car without investigating to make sure it's going to do what you need it to do, why would you make a lifelong commitment to mutilate your body without doing so? The irrationality to me is dumbfounding. Now, as Biden was asked to comment on, there are states that are pushing back. There's a bill before the Michigan legislature that would classify gender transitions on minors as first-degree child abuse. Now, that comes with a possible prison term of life in prison. Now, some people may think that's excessive, but think about it. You're talking about mutilating children. If we were taking off hands or feet or noses, just think of the turmoil that was created with the female genital mutilation that is practiced in certain religions. And people were apoplectic. We're talking about doing far worse. And now it's being encouraged. Now, I don't know about you. I do not find Michigan's position extreme. I don't find this idea of a first-degree child abuse to allow to people who consent to. The way it's interesting because it's people who knowingly consent or assist in a gender transition procedure for a minor. Again, we're dealing with children. We're not dealing with adults. I know the society wants to sexualize and treat children like they're adults. They are not. And to say that someone could face lifetime in jail for knowingly performing these procedures, altering a child's future. I mean, think about it, right? The act of child abuse, whether it be physical, I mean, and this is not simply child abuse, this is sexual child abuse. So should these people be treated different than someone who molests a child? I'm not so sure. Because in both cases, the outcome for the child is a lifelong change. Shouldn't we treat that with a certain amount of weight, a certain amount of concern to the impact? I mean, if we want the punishment to fit the crime, if you're talking about a lifelong change for a minor, I believe that that warrants quite severe punishment. So not only the lack of punishment for this lack of morality, the very fact that we have so many leaders that are immoral, that they seem to have a morality completely antithetical to anything we've had before. It reminds me of some warnings from our founding fathers. Probably the most famous is the quote from John Adams. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. See, the problems I have is not simply that there are immoral people. It's that the people have become so accustomed to this immorality, we hire people that promote it. We are supposed to take moral direction from such a man as Joe Biden with his repeated moral failures? Why? Then again, you know, people talked about the moral failures of Donald Trump. Fair enough. I never took moral advice from him either. I never took moral advice from any president in my lifetime. I was talking with someone the other day, and we pointed out that the American people seem to have bowed down and worshiped the god of government, the god of whoever's sitting in the right office. And this is the type of situation, the morality that brings is I think, where we're getting into. We're seeing so many issues. Again, not just moral questions, but this very idea of protecting rights. The very idea, that the moral idea, that rights are not simply something I have, but that others have, that I have a moral obligation to protect their rights, if as much if not more than my own, seems to be lost. And as another warning from George Washington, he said the central government can never be in danger of degenerating into a monarchy, an oligarchy, an aristocracy, or any other despotic or oppressive form, so long as there remain any virtue in the body of the people. So I have to ask, do we have such immorality in government because we've lost the virtue in the people? Can we have a man that acts like a dictator in office? I don't mean the rhetorical dictatorship of doing things I disagree with. I mean ruling by executive order, ignoring the Constitution, ignoring the law, creating law out of thin air, using the FBI to and the Justice Department to attack his enemies, to locking down, to depriving the people of their rights on a false premise and violation of the law. Did we get here not because, in other words, is Joe Biden the disease or the symptom? I think the Biden and this transgender agenda is not the disease. It's the symptom. And as is so often the case, when you treat the symptom rather than the disease, the patient doesn't get any better. It's one of the reasons why I come here every day, every weekday at least, and try to look at the rest of the story, the other side of the argument, the constitutional viewpoint on this. Because if we continue to attempt to cure the symptom, the disease that is rotting out America will never get cured. Now, sure, I'd love to say, hey, just take this one little shot and everything will be better. But that's not the way the world works. We have to deal with the world the way it is, but we should also be striving to make the world the way we think it should be. Now, I've talked a lot so far today about this transgender movement. I want to look at some other examples, some other scenarios that you may not think are moral distinctions or moral issues, but I believe they are. But I have to take a break first. Now, the Constitution Study is only one of many voices on America Out Loud. So it's a great place to go. I go there daily to get news and information. It is part of my my news reading process. It is it's in my news feeds. I get the little pop-ups from them, the notifications from them, because of all the great voices and because I'm getting information from so many different points of view. I think that's the only way we can find the truth is by looking at different points of view. So I ask you to join me. Make AmericaOutLoud.com a daily stop. Find out what's going on in the news and happenings and issues around the world, especially what's going on here right in the good old U.S. of A. See, it's more important than ever that we do our part, that we not only point out the problems, but we share stories and articles and podcasts with solutions. The only way we do that is if you join us. You join me and the rest of the content creators here at America Out Loud. You view what they're putting out, and then you share it. If we want to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, we must be willing to do the work, which includes, by the way, just sharing some information from a website.
Cold and flu season is here. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to minimize airborne viral threats? Well, now there is, and it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray called Cofix RX. You might even say it's just what the doctor ordered. To reduce your chance of getting hurt, you wear a safety belt when you're driving. To limit sun damage, you wear sunscreen on the beach. Cofix RX is just like that. It's an additional layer of protection. It's sold by thousands of pharmacists and medical doctors nationwide. It's made right here in the USA. Again, it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray. You've heard them talk about it here on the Out Loud Network over and over again. Check out CofixRx.com. That's CofixRx.com for a retailer near you, or use coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off at CofixRx.com.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, where we read and we study the Constitution, teach the rising generation to be free. And I don't know about you, but I am not taking more morality advice from creepy Joe Biden, not the habitual liar, plagiarist, hair-sniffing, woman-touching, abortion-promoting transgender activists currently occupying 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. No, I'm not going. And I did. I've spent a lot of time today talking about the morality issue around not just the transgender movement, but the hysteria, the focus on mutilating children in support of this mental misunderstanding. But there's a lot more to morality than sexual issues. For example, recently it was reported that the monthly deficit has risen over 5.5 times as Joe Biden's student debt relief starts to hit the books. See, the Treasury Department reported that the monthly deficit in September of 2021 was $64.9, say $65 billion. Again, to me, that's a mind-numbingly, it's a crazy number. The federal government spent $65 billion more than it took in. But in September 2022, that number was just shy of $430 billion. You say, but Paul, what does that have to do with morals? Well, let me ask you, is it moral to saddle our children with these costs? Costs that have grown so far, so large, we'll never pay them off. Our current debt is $31 trillion. That means each and every American, each and every one of us, owes over $90,000. Your children, a newborn born today, owes over $90,000 because the federal government can't figure out how to balance the books. Is it moral to saddle your children with such a debt? To saddle your children with any significant debt? I mean, think of it this way. How would you feel if, the day your parents pass on, you find out that they left you a couple hundred thousand dollars in debt, you and your siblings? Not a lot of fun. Well, that's exactly what we're doing, and we're doing it more and more. Even the concept of balancing the budget seems foreign to the federal government. They can't even figure out a budget. And I believe that what our previous generations have done to us and what is nothing compared to the immoral acts that the American people today, the debt that we are saddling our children and our grandchildren with, often in money that is squandered, money that is wasted, and money that was taken for ill-gotten purposes. So you have to remember, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 says that the Congress can only collect taxes to do three things: to pay the debts of the United States, to provide for the general welfare of the United States, and the debts of the United States, the common defense of the United States, and the general welfare of the United States, capital U, capital S, the exact same proper noun used in the 10th Amendment that says the United States doesn't have the powers not delegated to it by the Constitution. See, the Congress, in our name, is stealing from us. And they're borrowing money to give us stuff they're not supposed to give us, and we're saddling our children. You know, think of it this way. Imagine you're broke. I mean, you don't have a dime. You owe thousands and thousands of dollars, but you keep taking out new credit cards, new loans, so that you can live a nice high lifestyle. Go on cruises, take vacations, buy expensive cars, live in expensive homes, throw big parties, and you're just leaving debt for your children. That's what we're doing. In my mind, that's immoral. I wouldn't do that to my daughter. Why would I expect people to do it to theirs? Now, there's another morality question to go after, and that's the morality of coercion. Is it moral to coerce people to do what they don't want to do as long as it doesn't physically harm another person? See, that's the thing about rights. In order for rights to be legitimately exercised, they can't infringe on the rights of another. Yet we have multiple cases of people being coerced into action because of some political agenda. Whether it's wedding photographers or florists, or in this particular case, a baker. Now, Kathy Miller is a baker in Bakersfield, California. Kind of apropos. Now, she declined to make a custom wedding cake for a lesbian couple back in 2017. And she pointed the couple to another bakery that would gladly fulfill their request. But you see, that wasn't good enough for this couple. They wanted to force her to violate her own religious beliefs to make them a cake. And here we are, some 5 years later, And finally, a court has said, no. So even in California, it was a California Superior Court judge, Eric Bradshaw, that said, no, you cannot force somebody to comply with your wishes, that this is a violation of California's Fair Housing and Employment. No. Now, I'd be surprised if this is done, but I want you to think, again, we're talking morality. How moral is it for you to force someone to comply with your wishes? Again, this couple could have easily gotten the cake made somewhere else. But no, they wanted to force somebody to comply with their wishes, which is really, and I'm amazed and happy that this came out of a court in California, because California truly has become a totalitarian dictatorship. I mean, it's commie-fornia at this point. I mean, we already have the state where if you don't agree with your children's gender beliefs, then they take your children. They take the children away from the parents. If you're a doctor and you actually, talk about your medical experience in contravention to the state approved narrative, you can lose your license. And now, if you're a law enforcement officer and you participate in a group that the politicians in California don't like, you can no longer be an officer. See, back on September 30th, Governor Newsom signed AB 655, which bars Californians who had previously been members in quote-unquote hate groups or involved in hate group activity from service as a police or a peace officer. Oh, wait a second. Isn't this the same California that says if you don't agree to chop off your child's genitals, then that is hate speech, hate group, or that if you disagree with the state's medical board, that's misinformation and disinformation? Could it be that someone like me that actually talks about the Constitution could be considered a hate group? I know, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, others who teach about the Constitution are listed as hate groups. Would it be too much to expect that California would use the same standard? I mean, supposedly, this legislation has a strict definition of the term hate group tied directly to genocide. But wait a second. Wasn't it the Democratic Party that was promoting eugenics back in the 30s? Wasn't it the Democratic Party that was promoting slavery in the 1860s and Jim Crow and other laws in the early 20th century? Can we define the Democratic Party as a hate group because, well, they've been definitely in the past associated with things like genocide? I mean, they support Planned Parenthood, whose founder was promoting genocide. That was the foundation of what now is called Planned Parenthood. Does that mean that if you're a member of the Democratic Party, you can no longer be a police officer? If you were ever a member of a Democratic Party? And while we're at it, is it really right to have guilt by association? I mean, California is saying, listen, if you are a part of a group that we at some point in the future define as a hate group, well, then you cannot serve as a police officer. Did you do anything hateful? Did you join and then find out after the fact that the group was bad or that as the group moved towards these positions you left? Is that taken into account? No. See, this is the immorality of what is often called morality laws. This has nothing to do with morality. This is this has all the trappings of a political litmus test. As I said, the Southern Poverty Law Center already brands mainstream conservative and Christian organizations as hate groups. How strong is this law? How long before someone says, oh, you're a member of Oath Keepers? Well, that's a hate group, therefore you can't be a police officer. How long before someone says, oh, well, you're a member of the Constitution Study? They're hateful because, well, they filed that nasty old Constitution, so you can't be a peace officer. as I said, California is truly become its own police state. And while we're at it, I got one more thing, and this one I have to admit is going to be a little on the edge. Some people are going to question me about this, but I want you to follow along for a minute. So there's been quite a tete-a-tete going on right now between Arizona and the Biden administration regarding border security. You see, the border has more holes than a block of Swiss cheese. And the Biden administration's not doing anything or doing very little about it. They're talking a lot, but they're not doing anything. And Arizona, at least the governor, and I'm assuming many of the legislatures, well, they got fed up. So Governor Doug Ducey started taking shipping containers and using them to fill in the gaps in the border wall. Well, of course, for someone who claims that the border is under control when it's not, this kind of pissed off the Biden administration. And they sued the Arizona for trespass. I love this as trespass. Now, what's the logic of trespass? Well, you see, the federal government claims that the borderland is owned by the Bureau of Reclamation. There's problem number one. Federal government is not allowed to simply own land because they want it. They have to, first of all, they're only allowed to own land for certain purposes. For the government seat of the United States, for dockyards, forts, magazines, and other needful buildings. Not for the border. And oh, by the way, in order to get this land, they have to purchase it voluntarily from the state. So unless the federal government can come up with a deed that says Arizona sold this land to the United States, they have no legal. In fact, they're the ones trespassing on Arizona. Now, what I'm very happy to see is, the Biden administration sued and Governor Ducey said, we don't care. We're going ahead. The federal government does not have any legal ownership of the borderlands. But Paul, it's a federal border. I don't care. It was a state border long before it was a federal border. And the federal government doesn't have legal justification. Now, they may say, well, it was public lands, and therefore, as part of the Enabling Act, Arizona had to cede that land to the United States. Yes, but if you read the Enabling Act, everyone I've read so far says to be disposed of, meaning that it was a grift, that Congress intentionally or otherwise stole that land from Arizona. They said, turn it over to us, we'll dispose of it for you, and they didn't. So who's trespassing on whose land? The reason I bring it up as morals is you have the federal government claiming land. Do they have a moral and legal right to that land? I don't think so. I don't believe so, and I've yet to see any evidence that shows they do, other than their claim, one-sided, that, nope, that land is now ours because we say so. That is not a moral acquisition of land. But as you see, there are a lot of places where morals have broken down. We don't follow morals, a generally accepted moral code, where now everything's to be, seems to be, get what you can. And, when it comes to defining morals, I'm not taking the word of anyone in Washington. I am not taking moral lessons from anyone in Washington, D.C., period. Maybe if the American people stop getting their morals from the bunch of alley cats we call politicians, maybe this would be a better country. Maybe the federal government would be less like a monarchy or a dictatorship, as Washington warned us. But the only way to find out is to reassert our morals. You don't need to be rude, but you don't need to accept everything that comes down the pike just because someone says so. That is not morals. That's the morals of an alley cat. I'll take anything that comes down the pike. I don't really care. And since that is exactly how American society is working, it is time for the American people to stand up and put themselves forward, to stand up to this ridiculous nonsense of you have to accept everything somebody says, whether it's rational, logical, moral, or not. I'm not going to take moral advice from Joe Biden. I'm not going to take moral advice from anybody in Washington, D.C. I suggest you don't either. Now, where you take your moral advice, that's your decision. I don't have any say in that. I know where I get mine. But if Adams was correct, and this government, this country, this is designed for a moral people, maybe the breakdown in the society is more about the breakdown in our own morality. Maybe once again, the root of the problem is not Washington, D.C. or the schools or social media. Maybe the root of the problem is looking you right in the mirror. And not you individually, but you're probably part of the problem. And if that's bad news, the good news is it's a lot easier for you to fix yourself than it is for you to fix society as a whole. If you fix you, and I fix me, and we all work to make ourselves better, then society will pretty much take care of itself. Now, if you found this an interesting program, let other people know. They can hear the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. All of my shows go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on the radio. Find them on your favorite podcast app. And do me a favor, subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find me. You can find all the links at the homepage of AmericaOutLoud.com. Do your best. Help share them so that we can all share in the blessings of liberty.